My next guest is a former corporate go-getter and all-around boss. Her journey is one of hard work and sacrifice that led her into some of the most powerful rooms in her field. But her biggest win came after she surrendered to her true calling. Coming up next on the 40 Plus Files, boutique owner and bona fide cheerleader for women, Donna Coleman. Welcome to the show, Donna.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you for having me.
No problem. I'm so excited about today because you are just a force. That's what I like to call you, a force. You are looking lovely as always.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So one of the first questions that I asked my guests is, how did you view growing older or aging when you were in your 20s?
Wow, I feared it. I always saw older as something bad or something that was going to take something away from me, something that could possibly make me want to hold on to my youth when I was young. Mm. But as I aged, I saw the beauty of it, and thank God for wisdom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always say that wisdom comes with age, or at least it should. So since this show is called the 40 Plus Files, what was your biggest epiphany after turning 40?
The biggest epiphany after turning 40 was to realize that I needed to get clean. I needed to get healthy. I needed to heal my heart. And if I did those things, then my ladder would be much greater. So I was about the business of doing that.
I love that. I love that. I always say that, you know, as we age progressively, at 30, the light bulb comes on. And then at 40, there is a whole new illumination that happens. So right now you are doing so well as an entrepreneur, and you have been an entrepreneur for a few years. Talk about your life prior to starting your own business.
Prior to starting my own business, I guess right after college, when I finished college, I was trying to conquer the world. I wanted to be successful in corporate America. I wanted to make my parents proud. I was the first in my family to go to college, and the sacrifices that my parents made for that to happen, I wanted it to count. So I was laser focused on career building before I was an entrepreneur.
Okay. So you said you wanted to be a success in corporate America. What did that look like to you then?
My first goal was I always had this thing about correlating my age with what my salary was. Hmm. So before I was 30, I wanted to at least be making $30,000. Before I was 50, I wanted to at least be making $50,000. Those were my first sets of goals. But then God blessed, and I made $30,000 way before I made 30 years old. So it was a money thing. My family was, for lack of a better word, the truth, we were poor with me growing up. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to have a life where money was not my issue. And having access to things was not my issue. And I knew the way to that was to be successful in my corporate endeavors.
Absolutely. And I think you were a first-gen college graduate?
First-generation college graduate. My grandmother had one sister that went to college, but my mother and my father had no siblings that went to college. They didn't go to college as well. And I was the first. I'm the youngest of five. I have four older sisters, and I was the first to complete college.
So you had a lot going on. You had a lot riding on you, I think.
I believe I did.
Yes. Yeah, so you were sort of like the golden child. Usually it's the oldest child, right? But you were the youngest, but you did shine, you know, throughout high school and then in your college years. You did so much even before you graduated from college. So once you entered into corporate America, You are pursuing your goals, your financial goals. And that's, I think, a common thing with people who came from humble beginnings, right? You tell yourself, I don't want to struggle like my parents did. You know, I want to have more. And that's awesome. So you are climbing the corporate ladder over the years. So tell me a little bit about that journey.
You know, as we're talking, I'm kind of reflecting on so many firsts. Like you said, I was the first to even go back. If I go back a little bit,
please.
I had four sisters. They all went to the same high school, so I was the first to step out, and I went to a different high school, and that was awesome because it gave me my own self identity. The other caveat, my sisters, all of our names begin with D. So at some point, you just wanted to have your own space, your own sense of self. My four sisters, they're all born in September. They're all Virgos. I'm not. I'm born in March. Wow. And so that was a first, just to having of my own birthday celebration, not be lumped in with the rest of the girls. Going all the way back to that, I went to term school when I was in high school. I took etiquette class. I did pageantry. I did all of these first in my family. And so going to college was just another step to have my first experience. But it wasn't just about going. It had to be completion because no one applauds people for just attending a college. It's about getting to the end. When I got into corporate and got into stages of management, I often told some people that I interviewed is nothing wrong with going to college and you're not being held back. But the separator for people is we want you to finish. And getting a degree just means you know how to complete a task you had set yourself up for. So going into corporate, you know, I did a stint at working in commercial real estate, working for a subsidiary of Sears. Through that, I was the first person to be, I was literally given an opportunity to have a job created for me. And that was an asset manager intern. I went to Arlington, Texas, and was given the opportunity to an asset management intern. Actually was in training to be a mall manager. And after that experience, I came back to Chicago and went into insurance. A dear friend of mine told me, Don, if you get into insurance, you'll always have a job. That was true. I did many, many years, over 20 years in the insurance industry, many times doing as a commercial underwriter, personalized underwriter, being the only minority on my teams. So I've had many, many opportunities of first. And the more I had to think about it as I was preparing for you, it's like, wow, it's been kind of a great ride.
Absolutely. I mean, just having the responsibility of being a first, those are pretty big shoes to fill. Mm-hmm. Because not only do you have to feel the pressure of doing a good job, but you are paving the way for those who are coming behind you as well. Absolutely. So you kind of conquered corporate America and you worked in corporate for how many years?
I was in corporate for 28 years. Mm-hmm. it sounds like a lifetime. I guess it is a lifetime.
Yes, for some.
For some, yeah, it was a lifetime. Corporate was absolutely the training ground for me to be able to forge myself into the world of entrepreneurship. The groundwork that was laid by me having to, as I see it, become successful so far in my entrepreneur endeavor. Because one thing I had to do was work well with others. I had to develop excellent customer service skills. Everything I did was about somebody else, making sure someone else's needs were met. That was my career. How to communicate with people verbally as well as in written format. How to express myself professionally, as well as talk to others who may not be at the same skill set that I may be at. all those things were honed for me in corporate America, and they have suited me very well in my endeavors as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I mean, it kind of grooms you to be where you are today. And that was my next question. So you never really had thoughts about being an entrepreneur. So you decided to take an entrepreneur class in, was it 2017?
2017, April 2017, I went into an entrepreneur class through a program called Operation Hope. The instructor was Mr. Bruce Montgomery. And yes, it was definitely on a whim that I decided to take that class, so much so it was the ninth hour that I signed up for the class. And wow. On the very first day, I walked into a room with over 150 other hopeful potential entrepreneurs. And that was kind of overwhelming. But yeah, it was definitely not the plan that I was seeking. At the time, I was interviewing for several other positions, and nothing was panning out. Mm. And I guess that was God's way of letting me know that his plan was for me not to continue on. I had to take another path.
That's right. Absolutely. So you're taking this class, and I'm in awe at how God and the universe works in our favor. You were 51 when you decided to take that class. You know, when so many people will be like, I've been in corporate all this time, I'm just going to go ahead and retire. But there was a turning point for you. You were working in corporate America, you had taken this class, but there's a turning point where you had some health issues. So talk about that, how you just decided to, that was it in corporate America.
Yes, I had finished the class. It was from April to August. And I had actually gotten an opportunity to get my own little space to sell my wares. I was subleasing space in another store, and that was going on. But something was going on the inside of me that I was not, for lack of a better word, taking care of my health. I was trying to conquer the world, but I wasn't trying to make sure that this temple that I inhabit was okay. Mm. And it was giving me warning signs that I was not adhering to. And long story short, I had an episode at work, and I actually passed out, and they took me via ambulance to the hospital. And I found myself off work for quite some time until, someone came knocking at the door and said, hey, you got to make a decision about what you're going to do. Are you going to come back or what? Because if you won't make a decision, we'll make one for you. And so I prayed and I said, God, just take care of me. And I don't know what that was going to look like, but I did. I did decide to leave corporate in May of 2018. And he's held me ever since.
Absolutely. That was a decision, and you were at a crossroads. And sometimes, you know, God will push us.
He carried me right to the crossroad, literally, because I've had a spirit-filled life. I guess I've been in church all my life. Mm-hmm. But if I were to be totally honest, it really wasn't until this situation really happened that church teachings actually started to become real and manifest in my own life. Wow. I actually had to take a leap of faith because I'm a single woman, and therefore everything is on me. So I couldn't, and because I'm was so analytical in my corporate career, my positions, I had to make sure all the T's were crossed, all the I's were dotted. And at that point, I just couldn't see it. But it wasn't for me to see. I had to just trust the process. And like I said, he's been taking care of me.
Yes, absolutely. So while you were taking the class, what was your business idea? Because obviously you kind of walked in that. So what was your idea?
To be quite honest, I had no idea for quite some time. That it wasn't until probably midsummer where I just was trying to, I was listening to the other students in the class and seeing what their passions were and how they came to understand what their passions were. And then I said, well, you know, what am I passionate about? What do I enjoy? What do I like? And I formulated that into, well, you know what? I really love fashion and I am a curvy girl. And how can I marry those two? So I decided that I was going to pursue a boutique specializing in plus size women's clothing.
So when you finished the class, that's kind of the road that you traveled down. So you decided to do a pop-up shop.
Yes. I was so blessed. And it's so wonderful how God works, because once you surrender to what you decided is your passion, what you want to pursue, he really does open doors. And I finished the class on a Saturday, had my graduation, and literally 5 days later, I did my first pop-up shop. So it was just an awesome experience to actually see my efforts, my preparation cross paths with my opportunity. And I got to immediately immerse myself in what I wanted to do. And through that experience, the young lady who gave me the chance to have that pop-up gave me another opportunity, it was September. I did the next one Black Friday. So the Friday after Thanksgiving. And because of that second pop-up shop at the end, as I was breaking down, again, young man came in and was marveling at my display and wanted to know my next steps. And he offered me the opportunity to open up within his store, my own space. So, and that was December 17th. I literally just had my 4-year anniversary as an entrepreneur last Friday. So, you know, from the time I finished the class, which was August to December, I'm living in my passion. I'm breathing it. It manifests itself. All of my preparation came to be. And so I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. And it seems that you have not missed a beat. Talk about divine providence. Talk about being divinely led into something. So speaking of that, though, you had a situation, you know, with your father, and I like how you called it your assignment.
Yes. As I was marching out the door when I resigned from my position from corporate, I said, "Woo! Now here we go. I'm in the store and I'm going to, you know, take this thing and run with it." And life would say, "Ha ha, not yet." Because shortly thereafter, my father was diagnosed with cancer and his progression for needing care, more care than I thought I had the time for, came rather soon. So I wasn't able to really run with the business the way I wanted to. So I had to pivot and I became what we call a vendor. And I just started doing pop-up shops because that was more conducive for me to be able to give him the care that he needed, as well as sustain a life for myself. And if I were to be totally transparent, I did not embrace that opportunity immediately. I thought I had been put upon by my siblings. I thought that it was too much. I thought it wasn't fair. I thought I couldn't do it. But over time, as I had to do what I had to do, it became clearer to me. And like you said, I was at a vendor event one day and I was really upset. I was upset. I think I was even in tears, just overwhelmed with the fact of, you know, having to be there for him on a daily basis. Sure. And then still trying to do what I needed to do. I couldn't see the value in what was to come for me. But a woman, a stranger, I guess it was an angel, mm-hmm. because she told me, she said, "Your father is your assignment. That's mm-hmm. why the responsibility has been put upon you. So embrace your assignment." And once I did that, that's when the magic really happened. My dad and I had a opportunity to develop a grown woman, adult father relationship. And we got to learn each other as adults. And care became concern. It was not a chore. It was a labor of love. And as I saw him go through his decline, I took great pride in knowing that I had accepted the assignment and was at peace when he finally did have to leave me back in February of 2020.
Wow. Yeah, that's such a great loss to have to experience. And I know all about that. So what do you think that time or that assignment, what did you learn from it? What did you glean from that experience?
Oh, gosh, so many things. So much. The power of forgiveness. Mm. My parents divorced and we were all adults, but there was some level of unforgiveness there. But the unforgiveness was more mired in me carrying the pain of my mother versus it being my pain. Mm. And I had to become more understanding once you get another side and once you get another version of events. And coming at a time in my life where I was growing as a woman and I was becoming more forgiving of others, forgiving of myself, then I could see the weight of what that situation was and be more understanding of it. I learned how to be strong. I learned how to care genuinely about someone else. I learned how to really humble myself. I became more humble. I even understand more than anything the importance of getting things out of you. You have to get clean. And those things happen just in the time, the day to day, because it got to a point where he needed daily care. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it wasn't convenient for me to give him daily care, but you have to humble yourself, because I had to go back in my mind and remember all the sacrifices that my parents made for me when I couldn't do for myself. So again, you know, I had to eat a piece of humble pie and put someone else first. So I learned how to become a good daughter. And although I miss my dad, and although there is this piece of me that is gone, I have peace because I knew I did everything I could to make his life as comfortable as it could be during his most difficult times. And I have peace with that. I know that I have peace with that. And he gives me peace with that as he returns every now and then and smiles down on me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's so powerful. And it speaks to divine purpose, I think. Because a lot of people, especially when, you know, we see our parents aging and then so many lost moments during our lifetimes, that we get to make right, I think, during those times when we see our parents, you know, ill and they're passing and they are, you know, leaving this life.
Right.
And so that's so powerful. And I know that you are helping somebody else right now, because there's somebody who's, you know, in that, walking in those shoes right now, taking care of ailing parents and not understanding why the responsibility has fallen on their shoulders. Square on their shoulders when they have siblings or nieces and nephews who are quite capable of doing it. But I think that stepping in those shoes, it does something for you, and just really that finality of everything. And it's just, you put it in such a beautiful way. And so after your father's passing, so your business, you are a bona fide vendor. By that time, you're doing well. So talk about how you actually ended up with a boutique.
Oh, wow. if nothing else has been a divine intervention, me coming to be having a location, a brick and mortar location, is definitely that. At the time, I was not looking to have a brick and mortar location. This is the midst of COVID. This is the end of the year. You would think that this was not a great opportunity for me, but how it actually came to be, a friend of mine has a paint and sip shop two doors down, and she saw that the current tenant of this location was moving out, and she contacted me and she said, "Donna, you've got to look into this space." And I was just like, "Kat, I am not ready to do a store." She said, "Yes, you are. I saw you this summer at the Black Women's Expo. You are ready. Come on, take this opportunity seriously and let's move." And here's the contact information. And that was the end of the conversation. And I did nothing with that information. And 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from a gentleman. "Hi, Donna. This is Dan. I'm the landlord. Catherine has told me that you're interested in the space." And I'm like, "I didn't tell Kat to contact the landlord on my behalf." But I told him, I said, "I may be interested in doing having a landed space for Christmas, but I'll let you know." And he said, "Please do so, because the current tenant will be moving out. I don't have an exit date, but let me know as soon as you know." I said, "I would." I did not contact him. Another week or so went by. I get another phone call. It is the tenant of the space calling me. "Hello, Donna. This is Avis. Dan told me you were interested in subleasing my space." I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Okay, let's meet." I said, "Okay, I will." I did not meet with the young lady. So now we're talking now. We're four weeks, almost 5 weeks in from the initial phone call. I just dragged my feet out of nothing more than sheer fear and not being able to see the long game. I was caught in the moment. And I was not opening my mind up to the possibility of what could be had I embraced this opportunity. But eventually, I met with the landlord and we agreed to the sublease. And he said, "Why won't you consider a full-term lease?" And I started hemming and hawing. And he was being so agreeable with me and encouraging me on why I could and I should. And I told him I would consider it. And he said, "You should consider it. You really should consider it." So I left that young man and I decided I would go and see my mother. And oh, the power of a mother. Because when I got to my mother, I told her, I said, "Ma, I agreed to the sublease. I'm going to have a space." And I said, "But can you believe he's trying to get me to do a full-term lease? He wants me to take over the space permanently. And I just don't know." And I'm humming and hawing, and she just hit me between the eyes. And she said, "I'm so sick of you," as only a mother could do. And I'm like, "Let me clutch the pearls." And my mother's, she's like, "Oh my God, I'm just so sick of you. You know, you've been walking around here talking about this faith walk. And God has actually given you an opportunity. You have prepared by running here and there, doing all these setups all over Chicago. And now you're talking about you can't see it. That's not what faith is. Faith is the unseen and the believing that he will." And so I had to shrink in my seat and I agreed to go ahead and do the full lease.
Come on, mama.
Come on, mama. Yes.
Yeah, now that's my thing. Now I need to give her an offering because she preached to you.
Girl, she got me. And I tell you, she wasn't saying it nice. She was shrugging her shoulders and she just as only she could do it where I could receive it. But she was so right. She was so right.
Yes. So that was the push that you needed to just, because sometimes I think fear will keep us from reaching our full potential, because we're like, okay, this is, and especially when something is going well, you know, that's one of the things that I've learned over the past few years, because a lot of people stop going after their dreams because, you know, life seems good. Life is good, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, you know,
that whole, great. Well, you know what, Jackie, that whole term is so, it's, for lack of a better word, it's so stupid to me we can't live comfortably. Mm. We don't know what tomorrow holds.
Yes.
I used to think I had such security in my job, in my title, in my experience, but there's no security in anything if God ain't in it.
Oh.
And now I understand he won't even bring you to an opportunity. If you consult with him, he doesn't bring you to an opportunity to fail. You know what they say, fear is false evidence appearing real. And we take that on like it's real, you know, like there is something you can't accomplish, but there with him, you can do anything. Yeah. But most of the times, like I had to do, I had to submit. I had to stop trying to control the process. I had to stop trying to see it my way. And once I just submitted and let go and let him take over and do it his way, he has done exceedingly far more than I could have done in and of my own planning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you're
I'm not fearful of anything. You know, I'm technically superwoman. Because yes. With him, I can be anything. Yes. I can do anything. I can accomplish anything. But I got to let him be in it and let him drive. And all I need to do is stay in his parameters and make sure I stay humble, also stay healthy, and constantly honor him. And he got you after that. If you keep him first, he got you.
Yes. When you were talking, it just reminded me of Yvonne Orji's memoir, and it's called Bamboozled by Jesus, How God Tricked Me Into the Life of My Dreams. And one of the things she says in the book, sometimes we just have to let God. We have to let God.
Anyway. He's laughing at you anyway. When you try to be God. When you think you're running it, you think it's your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And most times I think we go awry when things happen, it's because we're out of his will. And every time when I step back from those negative situations that I perceived were negative, they weren't negative. I just wasn't in his will. I was doing it Donald's way.
Yes. We have to let God. I love it. So you were on this journey. You know, things were going well. You were doing pop-up shops. You were doing events. You were a vendor for a few years. And then this wonderful opportunity kind of just fell into your lap. And talk about how business has been going. I mean, it has just been amazing is just not the word. Are you surprised? Are you shocked? Are you just overflowing with emotion?
I'm all of it. I had my grand opening on Black Friday, and on that day, just people were everywhere, and I was so overwhelmed. Just the outpouring of people, not just coming, but the purchases that were made, and how I just got off to a great start, and I even then was happy and elated, but still I was still kind of pensive about, wow, what's this going to really do? Because again, I had submitted to the process, but I'm just being transparent. You still got a little bit of those control things going on because that's how I've been wired for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to kind of use some of my wit. And I was capturing the first week, capturing all of the previous customers of the prior tenant. The store used to be a corset shop, a place where women came and got specialty bras and, you know, all kinds of foundations.
Yes.
That you could find at this location. And because she closed so abruptly, she did not contact her prior customers. So many of her prior customers were coming into the store and were very disappointed that she was no longer in business. I had the aha moment to say, well, let me get your contact information. And I literally, to date, have about 160 names of prior customers that have visited my location. So about 2 weeks ago, the prior tenant, she came in, Ms. Abbas came in, and she brought me a couple of poinsettias, and she just wanted to congratulate me and say happy holidays, and really just to pick up her mail. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, and I just asked her, I said, Ms. Abbas, would you be willing to teach me how to do the bra fittings and connect me to your wholesaler so I can continue on your business? And she said, absolutely. Oh, I'm so glad that my customers will have an opportunity to continue to be able to have their needs met. So she said, but I can't train you until after the holidays. So I've been in business 3 weeks, but in first quarter next year, I will be expanding the Vision Corner to include the corset shop. And I already have, again, about 160 customers who know wow. They will be contacted once I am trained and have the stock back in. So I'm going to be incorporating that business to what I'm already doing. And that's going to take me to a whole nother level.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing, because who walks into a space and without doing anything, have a flow of people coming in and they're your market also? That's just, yeah. You know, that almost never happens.
And so many of them, once they were here, they saw what I was selling. They said, oh my gosh, you specialize in plus, because most of the women are plus size. And so mm-hmm. they shop with me and taking me currently, you know, to another level as well. So, you know, I every time I see my girlfriend Catherine walk by the store, she's going on her way to her store, I snatch her in. I'm just so thankful to her for seeing the vision that I couldn't see, and for having the drive to say, nope, I'm going to push her along. She can't see it. I'm going to push this process along until she gets on board. Can you imagine had I not taken advantage of this opportunity? It's truly an opportunity.
Yes, it really is. I mean, so your store is called DSC Vision Corner.
Yes.
Correct? It's a wonderful boutique, and it does cater to plus size women, but you also sell amazing jewelry. That's how you got me. Because I too had been a longtime customer of the corset shop. I mean, many, many years. And I think when people first walk in, you know, we're not really that thrown, because they had started, you know, selling apparel as well. But then I'm, you know, when I saw, I was like, oh, I've never seen this, you know, beautiful woman. And you were such a light. Oh my gosh. It's called DSC Vision Corner. And if you are in the Chicagoland area, it is at 10501 Southwestern Avenue in Beverly.
Yes.
That's wonderful. I mean, and business is booming. And you just seem, you're so humble, and you are just, you know, you're walking in your greatness, and you are really shining, let me tell you. So for those of you who are listening, you will not be disappointed. So one of the things I ask my guests is, what are some of the biggest advantages of doing what you do at your age, and what are some challenges?
I can start with the challenges. But yeah, don't wait till you're 50. Besides, you want to start moving racks around and picking up containers filled with purses and jewelry. I tell you, you don't have it. We didn't go into that. The many nights I did cry to my mom, like, oh, my back is killing me. So don't wait to do anything associated with physical labor, because that's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Because I was am a mature woman, and I like people. I've always enjoyed people. I always have empathy, understanding, and concern for people. Mm. I know that my wisdom was to make sure to stay humble and be honest with yourself. You got to know that you in it to win it, because you know, there are some times where I would do events. I may sell one item. You know, I do an hour setup to sell one item. And then there were events where, you know, I had sold out. I'd love to tell a story of Salem Baptist Church. They had an event one time. I sold out. And one of the members said, do you have any more at home, honey? You better go get your stuff. because by the time church is over, them women are going to be back at this table. And she was right. You know, so I've had moments where I've sold out and, you know, and then everything in between. So, you know, stay the course. So many times in life, we find ourselves giving up. And we don't understand. We could be right at our breakthrough. Your breakthrough, your success, your progress could be the next thing that's happening. And you give up because you can't see it. You can't, you know, you don't have the vision for it. So tenacity is important. Mm-hmm. Surrounding yourself with good people, other entrepreneurs. One of the things that has blessed me is the other entrepreneurs I've gotten to know who have poured into me, literally poured into me, helped me, taught me. I ran into those kind of people. You know, when Brother Mike gave me space in his store, mm-hmm. you know, and he taught me about the, you know, how to be a business owner, you know, have integrity, Donna. Do what you say you're going to do. Be consistent. All these different people just helping because it's the right thing to do. But you got to be right first. Wow. Because your energy precedes you, you know. Your ethics precede you. Your aura precedes you. You know, your facial expressions, they precede you. And people, they latch onto your energy or you repel them with your energy. And I just try to be, I am so conscious of trying to be right by people that I hope that they, I know that they feel that, you know, and when people return and be returning customers, that's not necessarily because of the merchandise. It's the experience they have with you, because I am the representative of the DSC Vision Corner, you know, so people, you know, when people are talking about, you know, the store, they're really mm-hmm. talking about you and how you make them feel when they encounter you. And I'm just grateful that wisdom has told me, you know, I got to be the best version of me if I want the store to be successful. And it's a daily thing. It's a moment by moment thing. Everybody that comes through the door, you greet them with a smile. Mm-hmm. You greet them with concern and care. So they know it's not about selling. I don't sell merchandise. Mm-hmm. I do a presentation. I set it up. I make it look pretty. I make it affordable. You want it, you buy it. You don't, God bless you. Somebody gonna buy it. But I'm not in the business of selling. I'm in the business of making people feel comfortable, making people feel like they are more than a dollar. And I make them feel as though I am glad that they came my way, because they could go anywhere. My girlfriend got a boutique 4 blocks down. It's another one, 6 blocks in another direction. People can go anywhere to spend their money. But I want them to come to me, because I want them to have an experience of me. And that's what's important to me. That's what's important. That's what wisdom, that's what these 55 years of life have told me. Let folks have a good experience of you.
It just reminds me about the quote by Dr. Maya Angelou. And I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but she said, people may forget what you've done, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. Okay.
Right.
And it's so powerful. And you radiate such wonderful energy. I mean, you can feel it as soon as, you know, you walk into your space. And I think that speaks volumes. You did mention that you are a single woman and you've been very forthcoming about being unattached and in a place of healing. What do you believe your journey has taught you about choosing yourself?
Wow. For so long, I didn't choose me. For so long, it was about either choosing career paths, choosing to have in my head that, you know, I hadn't done enough to make my parents proud, choosing to yearn for the love and companionship of a man, not honoring my own gifts and talents, and knowing that I was enough. So some of the choices that I made were not in my best interest. And for a long time, I paid a heavy emotional price for that. Because, you know, sometimes if you don't know better, I guess some people would say you're not responsible. Mm-hmm. But I've always known better. I've always known right from wrong. Not to say that just because I went to church, you know, I used to say, you know, I've been in church my whole life, because when I was in my mother's womb, she took me to church with her. So all I know is a God-fearing, spiritual life. So I knew better. And so, you know, I have the life I chose. But here's the caveat to that. Now I've learned to make better choices. And more important than that, I have forgiven myself, which was the hardest thing. You can forgive others, but when you know that you did your own self-damage, you know you created your own reality, you know when you were doing it, when you were saying it, when you were thinking it, when you were acting it, it's hard to forgive yourself. But you can do that in an instant. And I just made a conscious decision just like that. He forgave me. And I forgive me.
Wow, that part, that's powerful. What do you suggest that women, single women over 40, do before they get into a committed relationship? Not that you have all the answers, but you've had this lived experience.
The first thing, again, get clean. Get clean, girls, get clean. Mm-hmm. Forgive yourself. Forgive him. Forgive them. Forgive it. Get some counseling. Get out of your own head. Let a third party, a neutral party, give you balance to your situation. Stay away from negative self-talk. Even when you give it, you know, when you give it power, it lives on in you. And like I said, in an instant, you can forgive yourself. And anybody says, oh, Adonna, you don't understand. I don't have to understand. You know what? I do understand. It happened yesterday and you enter today and there's no value in taking into tomorrow. So get clean. Because whoever you hurting behind, they not hurting behind you.
Wow.
They've moved on. They're living their life. And if you don't get clean, you going to take that 8-ounce bag, that 13-ounce bag, or that Lana Leaf size bag of drama, pain, and hurt to the next person you meet. And what a disservice that is to you and that individual. Get clean. Just get clean.
Get clean. And that can mean so many different things.
It means whatever it needs to mean in your life, get clean.
Yes. Wow. I love it. What advice do you have for women who are close to 40 or who are over 40, but they believe the best years are behind them?
What value does that add if you think you're going to live for tomorrow? What's the point? Why get up tomorrow if you think your yesterday was better than what can be your tomorrow? Because your tomorrow will be what you tell yourself it is.
Yes. Yes.
Life is happening in your mind. That's the only place it's happening, in your mind. So what you tell your mind, what you feed your mind, that's what it's going to be. So what happened to me, what the choices that I made even yesterday, that's a cancel check. It's over, honey. But today I got a chance. Today I can meet Mr. Wonderful. Today I can go get a new house, new car. Today I can lose them pounds I've been fighting to lose. Today I can just make a decision to make it better in my own mind. And when doubt and those past hurts or whatever start to creep up, come back to today, hunty. That's today. Cause everything that already has been happened is over. And there is no real value at all in regurgitating how someone hurt you. Because I would venture to say, and it's not a popular thing, but I would venture to say, nobody hurt me. Each person that encountered me was the person that they were when they showed up in my life. And I decided to choose that individual.
Wow.
I stayed with that individual after the first lie. I stayed with that individual after the first disappointment. I stayed with that individual after the first indiscretion. I stayed with that individual after the first time they lost the job. Those were choices I made. So that person didn't hurt me. I hurt me.
Wow.
Right? Every time I chose.
Yes.
Nobody got a gun up to my head saying, you got to stay, girl. Mm-hmm. I chose until I decided that I was going to make a different choice. So no one has ever hurt me. They may not have met my expectations, but again, they're my expectations. Right? Wow.
Yes, absolutely. I think people are so afraid of that accountability aspect.
You must be accountable because it's your life. You're living it. Your life, my life, everyone's life is the sum total of the choices we make, or the choices we're afraid to make, or the choices we just too angry to make. But either way, it's still creating everything in the dash of your life. So let's get out of this mindset of, you know, I'm jilted and I'm hurt. And he did this, he did that. What he did was everything I allowed until I didn't allow it anymore.
Wow. There you go. Wow. Donna, this has been simply amazing. Amazing. Tell people where they can find you on social media, and share the address of your boutique again. Just so wonderful.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity. Love you, my sister. You walked in and you changed my life forever. Aww. You gave me an opportunity to speak my truth, share my story, and hopefully someone will find value. And yes, I am the owner of the DSC Vision Corner. DSC are my initials. And I am located now proudly at 10501 Southwestern, yes, in Beverly. I can be found on Facebook at DSC Vision Corner. My name, Donna Coleman, and on Instagram, DSC Vision Corner. So yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
And my honor.
Thank you for listening to the 40 Plus Files. If you're in the Chicagoland area, you may find Donna at DSC Vision Corner, located in the Beverly neighborhood at 10501 Southwestern Avenue. You can also check her out on Facebook and Instagram at DSC Vision Corner Plus Size Boutique.